Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 9th of January, Anno Domini 2016. I am delighted to report I have not yet written 2015 on a check. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. A year after the FCC redefined broadband, 34 million Americans still lack access to the minimum standard, according to the commission's preliminary report. Specifically, 10% of the nation can't get internet speeds of 25 megabits for downloads and 3 megabits for uploads. While internet service providers did improve speeds significantly over the last year, a lot of that came in urban areas where only 4% of folks lack broadband connectivity. It's a different story in rural areas, however, where 39% of homes can't get a decently fast connection. The situation is worst on tribal lands, where 41% of residents lack broadband. A year ago, the FCC increased the minimum broadband standard from 4 megabits download and 1 megabit upload speeds to the current 25 megabits, 3 megabits, much to the consternation of the ISPs, who are all saying they delivered broadband. The latest reports at the time had the U.S. ranked a dismal 25th out of 39 developed countries. The final report is yet to be released, but the FCC has hinted that it won't accept any ISP claims that mobile services can substitute for fixed broadband. The commission said that consumers who rely solely on mobile broadband tend to perform a more limited range of tasks and are significantly more likely to incur additional usage fees or forego use of the internet. The FCC pointed out that it has given carriers $1.5 billion, that's billion with a B, annually to expand internet access and has set new rules for pole attachment prices that cable and telecom companies can collect. It also said that its net neutrality rules, rather than stifling innovation, drive consumer demand for faster, better broadband. If broadband speeds don't pick up at a faster rate, however, the FCC pointed out that the 1996 Telecommunications Act requires the FCC to take immediate action to speed deployment. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is, bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is U.S. internet providers fail FCC's annual broadband test. Your choices are, I'm getting more than 25 megabits per second down and 3 megabits per second up. I'm getting less. I'm paying for more than I'm getting. I have no idea. And dial up forever, baby. So far, we have 28 votes. 61% of you are getting less than what the FCC defines broadband as. 21% of you are paying for more than you're getting. Only 14% of you are getting more. I'm one of them. I have green light. 4% of you dial up forever, baby, and 0% of you have no idea, which is really interesting. Whenever I put no idea, it usually gets a lot of votes. Mm-hmm. People know what their broadband connections are.
Oh, heck yeah.
We know you're going to have more to say about this. We know you're going to have more to say about this. So if you scroll down on the right, you'll see under fascinating stuff, the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion, and currently the first topic under the poll discussion is 9 January 16, U.S. internet providers fail FCC's annual broadband test. So far, 4 people have posted, and we are all waiting for you to join us there. And we would like you to join us here as well. If you want to talk about broadband or, well, dang near anything, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, it's interesting.
being at the forefront of a lot of these internet services over the years is that, you know, I was early dial up with AOL and then went to a, you know, a real internet service company with dial up. And then I skipped ISDN. That was way too expensive.
Wow, was it?
Yeah. And then cable internet came along, and it was interesting how we priced it. That internet service was about $20 a month, and the cable service was about $40 a month back then. But most of us had a second phone line for the internet anyway, so that was $20 a month. So it was a wash to go up to cable and get, you know, move from 53K dial up to 10,000K broadband. And we were so excited then, but then then it used to be the you would download a 10 meg file and it took an hour. Nowadays you download a 10 gig file and it takes an hour.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it, isn't it? Back in the day when we were all doing dial up, file sizes were small.
Yep.
And it took a set amount of time to do things. As we got more and more speed, files got bigger and bigger. It takes the same amount of time to do everything that it used to.
No, it still brings back memories for me. You know, the
old dial-up. Yes, it should.
For folks that don't know, I got to share this one story because it's an old classic. We should almost do a book on some of the stuff that's happened with us.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget when we, I just wound up getting a 1200 baud, you know, I had the 300 baud modem.
Right.
At the time.
The acoustic coupler, where you dialed your phone and,
no,
and
I
stuck
didn't
it
have
in
that.
There?
I just had, no, I had
I
the regular, in my PC Junior, I had a 300 baud modem in it. And Lori all of a sudden came into the computer room one time, and she's standing there at the doorway. She's got this piece of paper in my hand. And she goes, "We got to talk."
Yeah.
I go, "Why? What's wrong?" She goes, "When our phone bill is more than our mortgage payment, we got to talk." I says, "Okay, I'll just get a faster modem." She goes, "What will that do for us except cost more money?" I says, "Just do things faster so it won't be on the phone." She goes, "Okay." That's one time I got an approval.
Yeah, back
I remember you first getting broadband.
Oh, that.
I got you all set up. We set up your computer.
Mm-hmm.
You sat down. And
that was at my shop, my old shop.
That was at your old shop. You completely ignored me. I was talking to you, and you were, like, hunched over the computer, staring at the screen like it was, like you were hypnotized. I was going, "Dave, Dave," and you were just like, and I finally said, "I'll call you in a couple, I'm going home, Dave, I'm going home now, I'll call you in a couple hours, no, I'm fine."
Yep, I went home that night, because you gave me the disc and that to load it at home.
Yep.
I went home, loaded it there, and we used to have a wake-up service. Because Lori used to sleep through the alarms and all that. And I was still up for both phone calls. Because they call us twice just to make sure we're up. I said, "No, I got it. I've been up all night."
Yep. I remember you calling me and saying something very rude.
Yeah.
Something I cannot repeat on the
air. Not on the air.
And I said, "Up all night, were you?" And it was clearly my fault somehow.
Oh, yes, definitely. You were the instigator for
it. That was my fault, absolutely. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the olden days where you dialed into the internet, downloaded your mail as fast as you could, and hung up because you paid by the minute.
Yep. Well, I remember on the old Frog Pond that I used to run, people ran Bluehost. Blue something. And it would go in and you would say, "Oh, I want the mail from this section and this section and this section." And then it would say, "Okay, good." You dial up, it would grab all that mail.
Was it Blue Note?
Blue Note, Blue Host, Blue something.
Yeah, something.
And download it all and then hang up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would expand it all and you could sit there in the thing and
answer it.
And then answer it and it would send that back up and download the next packet. Yeah.
And then FidoNet, the distributed messaging service.
We were on FidoNet. Yeah. Absolutely. Those were fun days. All right, listen, let's go to the phones. Our first caller, our friend Carl from Pottstown, PA.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Peachy, how are things in Pottstown?
Pretty good. I have a trouble with Task Manager. I'm running Windows 7 Professional on a desktop machine. I bring up my Task Manager, and it seems to work fine. Problem is...
Okay, thanks for calling.
The three little buttons that are in the upper right-hand corner, the X that gets rid of it and the one that minimizes it and the other one,
yeah,
Those three buttons are completely missing. They're not there. Once I bring up Task Manager, therefore, there's no X to click on to close it. Now, I could drag it off the screen so I don't see it anymore, but if I actually want to close it, the only way I could figure out how to do that is to reboot the machine. Any ideas?
Is it dragged up too high so you can't see those buttons?
Oh, no, I've dragged it all over the screen. I've tried to make it smaller. I've tried to make it bigger, you know, by grabbing an edge and bringing
it
up and
down. Do you have the menu?
Back and forth. They're just not there. Those buttons are not there.
Do you have the menu itself?
Well, let's see. I have listed in the task manager what's running, and I have the three buttons at the bottom that say end task, switch to, and new task. But the border around the entire box is just a blank gray border.
You know what?
Buttons.
You're probably in tiny footprint mode.
What's that?
The task manager can run in something called tiny footprint mode.
Oh.
It's a special mode of Task Manager. It's actually by design, and sometimes, of course, you apply this mode accidentally. Double-click the window border. Your Task Manager should be back in normal mode. You should see the menu bar, the title bar, the other buttons, everything.
I just did it, and it worked. Thank you.
There you go. That'll
wow,
be a dollar. Oh, no, yeah. I'm sorry. We do this for free now. Yeah, that's, it's fine. Yeah, that's it. It happens. There's all these little funny modes that Windows can do. And mostly we don't care about them until we do them accidentally, and then we can't figure out how to get back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of them. Tiny footprint mode. Tiny footprints on your screen. Sorry.
The other thing that sometimes works is if you right-click on the button in the
taskbar
at the very bottom, there's a minimize and maximize button. And sometimes you're accidentally maximized, and
right.
you can't see the rest of the buttons anyway.
Right. But that you're in tiny footprint mode.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There you go.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye. It's a pretty cool thing, actually, to be able to do that. A lot of people have multiple screens. They like to leave the task manager up, but hiding the border,
yep.
which includes the close button and all that, hiding the border makes it a little smaller, and you can stick it up in the corner of that second screen and look at it when you need it, but it takes up a little less real estate. And consequently, they give you that option, but if you get into it by accident, you're unhappy.
Messed up.
You're messed up. All right, our next caller is Ken from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ken. What's up?
Good afternoon. Well, this is a first-time caller, I would say this.
Yay!
But I listen to you folks on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Here's my situation. I wanted to go ahead and make a system image on my wife's machine, which I know how to do. But before I did that, in fact, I haven't done it yet, I was looking the system over to make sure it was the appropriate time to make the image. And one of the things I happened to look at was the task scheduler. And I just didn't like how it looked. Wasn't acquiring any memory. I have two machines in the house, and in comparison, they weren't the same.
Right.
So what I found out this morning, what the problem was, the system protection for the system was turned off. And so I said, well, that's an easy thing to do. So, in fact, I'm on the page right now, and I got an error report.
Okay, before we go any farther, Ken, first, what version of Windows are you running?
Windows 7 Home.
Okay, and by system protection, you mean antivirus, et cetera?
No.
Restore point?
Restore points, yeah.
Oh, restore points, okay.
Mm-hmm. That was shut off.
You
so
may
I
have...
just changed the button, restore system settings, and I thought I was going to be home free. Then the next step, you have to hit apply and okay. Well, when I hit apply, I get a window that says there was an unexpected error in the property page. The file name, the directory name, or the volume label syntax is incorrect, and it gives a number. I took the number. I knew it wasn't going to work, but I took the number. I put it into the registry. It didn't find that number. So it says, please close the property page and try again. Well, I'm not having success. So I'm barking up a tree, but I can't get to the top.
You never turned it off.
And I never turned it off.
Have you ever run the full Security Tango, which recommends you turn it off could run and then turn it back on.
No,
again.
I've never run the Tango.
All right, listen, hold on. Ken, we have to take a quick break, but stay on the line and we'll come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Ken from Webster, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we still have Ken from Webster on the line. All right, Ken, here's a couple of things I want you to try. You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First, boot into safe mode. See if you can do the system restore from there.
All right.
What happens is there are some non-Microsoft services or drivers that can interfere with the functioning of system restore. And if by booting into safe mode, you don't load those drivers. That'll at least tell you that there are some driver issues, which you then would have to deal with. And I'll guarantee there's some sort of non-Microsoft driver. If that doesn't work...
Go ahead.
Right. If that doesn't work from regular mode, or I suppose from safe mode, you could do it either way, run a system file checker.
Okay.
Run the administrator command prompt.
Write that down, Patty. Administer command prompt.
Right. There's
two... I'll put a link up shortly.
Put a link up. Steve will put a link up.
All right.
For that one. But the system file checker, if you run it from the administrator's command prompt, you run SFC, which is short for System File Checker.
Yeah, System File Checker, yep.
Space slash scan now, all one word, SCANNOW.
Right.
And that will, and then reboot on completion and then try it.
Okay. It'll probably tell you it has to reboot before it can do it because it wants exclusive access.
Right, it may, whatever it tells you to do it, but when it's done, reboot again. And if that doesn't work, then run check disk.
Check disk?
Yeah, CHKDSK.
Okay. Okay. Some of these things I'll have to do when I'm offline with you folks.
All of them you'll have to do when you're offline.
I know that. And some of those things I'm not used to, but I'll plow through it one way or another.
It can take hours, yeah.
Yeah, and it can take a long time. Steve will put up a link to some of this stuff. You can read on our website at soundbites.org. Read through it before you go to do things.
Right. Let me just tell you one last thing. I have the system properties window open right now, which is where you would create a restore point or do system restore.
Right.
And I clicked on to configure. And that when that window opens up, presently, it looks like we're at the right place. It says it's not turned off, restore system. So that looks good.
Right. It looks like you can restore a system, but you want to set a restore point and save the system.
Right. So here's what it is. The current usage is only, it's set at 9 gigabytes. And when I want to raise that, let's say I raise it up to 9%.
Right.
And hit apply... Well, even if I leave it where it is, let me say I leave it where it is, and I hit OK, I'm getting the same error.
Right.
How much free disk space do you have? Maybe there isn't enough space to make a restore point.
That's possible.
No, there's. If you were to look at my restore point window, there's hardly anything on the page.
Yeah, but how much space is used on your hard disk?
Where would I find that out?
On your desktop, do you have My Computer?
Yes.
Double-click that and take a look at the C drive. It should tell you how much space is used and how much space is free.
We're talking about a size of the hard drive of 444 gigabytes, and I got 390 free.
Okay.
Gigabytes free?
390
gigabytes.
Gigabytes,
not
free.
Megabytes.
Yeah. So okay. Much of your disk is free. What you might want to do is increase the amount of disk space you use for restore points. That might be full.
Yeah, you said he tried raising it. It wasn't 9 gigs. He raised it to 9%.
Yeah,
but 9 or 10% is common.
Let's see. Well, I don't know if I can.
He could afford to go even a little higher. Take it up to 12.
Okay.
Sure.
Here, it's set at 2% right now.
Yeah, oh, that's yeah, way that's, too low.
That's not enough room.
Sure. I know that. I know that. But I hit OK on this window,
mm-hmm.
and it says some of your older restore points will be deleted. Do you sure you want to continue? No, I don't. So I click out no.
And it stops, yeah. I want to continue, but I don't want to delete the old ones.
That's
yeah.
right.
That's not an option.
And so then when I raise it up a little bit, then I get that error message.
Yeah, because the old restore points are smaller.
Right. It can't.
They can't do both.
What it does is breaks the tie between the old and the new, because now you're setting a new higher point.
Correct.
And now it doesn't know how to handle the old ones that were done in smaller mode.
Right. Okay.
So to make it bigger, you have to delete the older ones.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah, sadly you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You may want to, well, I wouldn't delete the old ones yet until you figure out what's wrong,
in case you need
to go back to one of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm saying you should do the scan now and all that
yeah.
other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Before you start fooling around with that nonsense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One last question.
Sure.
Would I try to use one of the restore points there to restore to an earlier time or no? Because this has been going on just since the 28th of December.
Well, you certainly could. It won't hurt anything.
Okay.
You may lose anything new that you've installed since then.
No, I won't.
Okay.
Based upon where they are.
There you go.
There we go.
I give it a shot.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained on this one.
Dave yep. says go.
I guess I'll go for a swim.
There you go. Hey. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Have
Bye-bye.
A good one.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it is hard. For those of you who have not used system restore points, you don't have to, certainly. But if you do decide to do it, make sure you've set your system up for a fairly decent amount of space. Most people have half a terabyte or a quarter terabyte of disk space these days. So
minimum, yeah.
10% of your drive for restore points is not a horrible idea.
And the restore points are needed because the registry is so crap.
Well, and that's
and
exactly
the registry is so easily corrupted that Microsoft realized that and created this restore process so it could restore your registry to a previous version before it got corrupted.
Right.
How about
hopefully
just not let it corrupt in the first? How about not use it in the first?
How about not use the registry? I don't like the registry. I've never liked the registry. I prefer the way Linux does it, which is lots of little files. So if you write a program that corrupts your little configuration
yeah.
file, it doesn't screw up my little configuration
on the
file.
Early hard drives, lots of little files were stored inefficiently,
right,
instead of one big file which was stored
right. That hasn't been true for about 100 years now.
Yeah,
yeah,
in the early
days. I'm just envisioning my friend Brian, who is bravely putting Xubuntu on his home system because he's
cool.
sick and tired of Windows,
mm-hmm.
and he's probably just laughing at all these people having their little registry problems at the moment.
Like I told you, I decided I'm pulling the plug next week.
Yeah.
Or next month.
Yeah.
Yep. I already got things laid out. I've been putting, more or less, getting my ducks in a row. And by February, I will have the Chromebook.
Yes.
Get a Chromebook
yes.
to do all my other stuff. And the other computer is getting disconnected. And I won't have to worry, you know, because I'm even doing a ghost backup. If something happens to it, no biggie. I can ghost it right back to Windows 7 because it's a perfect operating system. All my programs work fine on it, and I won't have to worry about anything.
Yep.
I just found an article from 2007 wondering if the registry was a good idea.
And the answer would be no.
Yeah.
Too long, didn't read.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In 2007, we already knew that.
Yep. Hasn't changed.
Back to the phones. The next caller is our friend Linda from Greece, New York. Hiya, Linda. How are you?
Great. How are you guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Okay. I've got printing questions. Okay.
Yeah.
I wrote them down. Okay. Printing web pages from my computer print very tiny. If
yep.
I print it from my phone or my tablet, I get normal size.
Most web pages are not designed to be printed. When you print a document, there's an assumption that you're printing on a piece of paper 8.5 by 11. When people create websites, there is no assumption about the paper size because there's no paper. So some could have a 12-inch monitor, some could have a 30-inch monitor. So when you print a website, it may think it had a 30-inch monitor, and now it has to shrink it to fit on an 8-inch piece of paper. Many websites will have a button somewhere on the website that says print this. and it removes all of the ads and all the extraneous stuff on the side and just gives you the text of the page that you actually want to print anyway. Okay, that will often work.
Okay, but now the thing is, up until the middle of November, I never had a problem. All of a sudden, and I haven't changed anything, I've had that problem.
The other end may have changed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a new
my tablet. Okay.
Well, and it works on the tablets because that's often a mobile browser instead of the full web browser.
Okay.
So there's less on it to begin with. Now, a lot of browsers.
Well,
on that same issue on your desktop, many browsers, Safari, Firefox, I think Chrome. Does Chrome have a reader now? There's a reader option that will strip out all of the extra stuff anyway and give you just the text to read.
Okay, I've got Chrome, so how would I find that on Chrome?
There's usually a button on a website that will open the reader. It's usually in the address bar.
You've lost me.
I'm trying to find out. There's some plugins that do it for Chrome, too. There's one called Clearly. I know Firefox and Safari have it built in, and Chrome it may be a plugin. Reader mode, so that in Chrome it strips out all that extra stuff. It's mostly the advertising that you don't want to see or don't want to print anyway.
Right.
And so when you run a website, it can bring up this reader mode. I'm trying to find it in Chrome on how it. Click the hamburger line and choose distill page.
Huh? Okay.
I don't see a distill page on my hamburger line.
No, nor do I.
More tools, maybe? Clear browsing data, task manager, encoding? No. We'll see if we can find it in Chrome. Or you may have to load a plugin, an add-on.
Okay, now where do I find the plugins? I'm not too savvy with this stuff. Where do I get the plugins for Chrome?
I Googled Chrome Reader, and the first one I found was one called Clearly.
Oh, okay.
So it eliminates all the distractions from your online reading.
Okay. My second question is, I sent the printer and my computer to print front to back. No matter what I do, I always get back to front.
That's an option in each print job. When you choose print, there may be a set as default option when you set that back to front.
What printer do you have?
I have an HP Offset 37. Oh, shoot.
That's okay. It's an HP Office Jet. Generally speaking, those have an option that says last page first, first page last.
I've got it set to first page. It doesn't matter. My computer and my printer say first page to last page. It always comes out the other way.
Does Safari have? You're using Chrome. Does OS 10 do something?
Well, I've got Windows 7.
Well, Chrome bypasses the on the Mac. Chrome bypasses the OS.
She's got Windows 7.
Right, but on the Mac, it bypasses the OS print box and uses its own. Maybe it does on Windows too. So that maybe. Unfortunately, that may be something you have to change every time you print, which is very annoying.
No, there should be a way to set that.
Save as default.
I don't have an instant answer for you on these. These are good questions. We will look into them, and we will put an answer up on Soundbites.
I don't even see that option in Chrome to print back to front or front to back.
Yeah, it doesn't give you that choice.
Even when I do more settings, that's not one of the options.
I know, because there was a manual I wanted to print, but it was a 10-page manual, but I only wanted the first 5 pages, because that's what I wanted.
Well,
I
you can
end up having to print the whole thing and throwing the paper out.
That's you can say print pages 1 through 5. It doesn't have to print all of the pages.
Yeah, well, I said print pages 1 to 5. It prints the last 5.
Well, that should be 6 to 10. Then you could have tried that, print pages 6 to 10.
It's very seldom that I ever get on the computer anymore. I always go on my tablet because my tablet prints are fine.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds like something in the print driver more than it does in Chrome. I just can't see that as being something that's in the in Chrome itself. It's really the print driver. So I think what you need to do is, and I don't have that printer, I'm afraid. So, but it's got to have something to do with the print driver.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, sorry, Linda. That's very strange. I don't know what to say. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have James from Rochester, New York on the line. Welcome, James. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I downloaded the ad blocker and on the Internet Explorer Windows 7.
Which one?
I think it was ad blocker plus or something.
Okay.
One of them. But anyway, I can't get that to work. How do you get that to operate?
It depends on how you downloaded it.
And you have to download it for the right browser. Many of them will have separate download links for IE, for Chrome, for Firefox.
Right, and you used it for Internet Explorer?
Yeah, I put it on Chrome also, and that's fine. But, you know, on the Internet Explorer, when I go to all programs, it's not there.
It's okay. Not a...
Did you use the same file that worked on Chrome for Internet Explorer?
You mean the place I downloaded it from?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Okay, here's the deal. As Steve said, AdBlock Plus, in fact, all of these things, have different versions for different browsers.
Okay.
So if you downloaded the Chrome one and it worked in Chrome, it will not work in IE. You have to go back to them and download the one for Internet Explorer.
Oh, they have one special on their site?
Yeah,
yes.
on the AdBlock Plus website, there's a little bunch of little icons for each browser.
Uh-huh.
And so there's the little blue E for Internet Explorer.
Right. Generally, if you go to the site with that browser, it'll bring that choice up. So if you went to that site with Chrome, it would download the Chrome version but not the Internet Explorer version.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so that's likely what happened.
Yeah, so I went to it on my Safari. It knew that and is defaulting me to Safari.
Okay, I meant the AdBlock Plus place. It says install for Internet Explorer.
There you go.
Yep.
And it'll get in here and work?
Yeah, it should work fine.
It'll download, then you have to run the installer to get it to install.
Yeah, the normal procedure.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Sure.
Yeah, in general, these things don't work across different browsers, because each browser is written by a different company. They're all put together a little differently, blah, 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 you know, all the hundreds of reasons. But the fact is that only when you get the exact correct one can you then install it for that particular browser and have it run fine for you. So, I would be very careful to make sure you've got the right one, that should work better. We're a lot of you folks aren't going to the poll. I'm kind of surprised. Just a few more people have hit the poll, and I'm surprised by that. We have. We were talking about broadband earlier, and you know, Dave and Steve and I have had the same exact set of experiences. We've always been kind of at the forefront of getting the latest, greatest, fastest. The arrow's in the back. So far, I'm ahead, though, because I've got green light, which is, thank you very much. I know that you appreciate that I'm pioneering this.
Dave was beating you for a while when the Frontier telephone switch was on the other side of his wall.
Yes.
DSL limits how far you are from the switch.
Oh. Right.
The closer you are to the switch, the better it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally, I was 10 feet or less.
Yeah. I will say that now, in general, I wait for the website. If something is a little slow, I know it's the other end.
It's not me.
It's not me. I'll tell you what, I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled, but you know, it's 100 megabit down and 20 megabits up, which is four times more than the government says we should have now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, even if it's 25 meg, it's significantly different experience surfing the web at those kind of speeds.
Oh, heck yeah.
It is a significantly different. I'm even when I'm at RIT, it's often a little slower there because there are so many people on the wireless network there. There's just collisions and it slows down a little bit. And I get annoyed. And I realize it's completely a first world problem. Actually, third world has way better internet access than we do.
Why don't they raise the standards to what the third world country has, even half of that?
Well, exactly. But, you know, 25...
Well, it's our infrastructure is so old that it...
Somebody would have to actually spend money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greenlight's been doing it.
Yep.
And they quite successfully.
Well, Frontier says the article on Stop the Cap. In fact, he had a really great year in review in the best articles for the year and how to save money on the internet. But they've had multiple articles that the executives at Frontier say people don't want faster internet. They're asking the wrong question. People don't want to pay more for internet.
Right.
We want faster internet. We just don't want it to cost as much as it does.
It's just what brand of flavor of Kool-Aid you're drinking.
And other cities are cheaper. And even in Rochester, when you have the choice of green light or other fiber connections, it tends to be faster and cheaper than traditional internet services.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I had to call my cable provider for some assistance with some serious trouble, and the lady on the phone helped me, got it all solved, great, and then started in on the sales pitch.
Yep.
We see you do not have internet access with us. No, I do not. She said, well, we can give you 10 megabits for $40 a month. I said, really? She said, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. I said, well, right now I'm getting 100 megabits for $50 a month. Dead silence at the other the phone. She says, yeah,
we
can't do that.
Speaking of them, I got to go to them because and I guess you got to take the whole box. You know, I've got
because
my controller, when you hit the button to turn it on and all that, gets stuck underneath it.
Oh, you should just be able to bring in the controller.
The remote you can just swap out.
Yeah, you just bring in the controller. Just bring in the remote.
In fact, sometimes what I've had to do, if there's a line where I just hold my remote in the air and she tosses me a new one and sealed in a bag and I toss the other one back to her and just leave.
Yep.
Well,
it does that a lot.
Well, I'm also wondering, I've had to reset the box a few times and the box is, 11 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be time for a new box. I have a brand new box and I love it.
The annoyance if you have the DVR box is you don't get to keep your old shows.
Yes. No, you don't get to keep your old shows, but they can keep your settings so it continues to record your shows.
I don't want the DVR because I've got on-demand, and I like the on-demand.
Yeah.
That way I probably do more watching of on-demand than the actual shows because, you know, like I've said before.
But you can't fast-forward on-demand
very
often.
That's okay. A one-hour show is down to 47 minutes.
Yep.
They're cutting out a lot of the other stuff. That's fine by me. And the limited commercials that come into it, and you can tell it sometimes where they cut out a commercial because they fade out and all of a sudden it's back.
Yep.
Like, oh, there was a commercial I didn't see.
I don't do much on demand because I do have a DVR. But the problem I've had with on demand is I used to see the same commercial over and over and over and over throughout the entire show. And I thought
I'm Fred Thompson. Do you need a reverse mortgage?
That's exactly. I don't have any mortgage. I don't need a reverse mortgage. If you want to give me money, I'll take it, but you're not getting my house in return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why I don't do much.
Other thing I've noticed that some networks are different. It seems to be show by show. Some shows will go back 5-10 episodes. Some go back the whole season. Some shows only go back 2 or 3 episodes.
Right.
So you still have to keep pretty current.
Right. Yeah, so that's kind of nice. All right, we got time to do this? We can at least get the question in. Our next caller is Jack from Greece, New York. Hiya, Jack. What's up?
Hi guys. This is, I'm a first-time caller.
Yay!
I got a new problem here. It just started about an hour and a half ago. I use a desktop computer with Mozilla Firefox as my browser. And I got an error message that said that I did not have access to Firefox, and then try later. I tried later, and it didn't come on. So I thought it was an internet problem. So I disconnected my modem and my browser, my router, and then I reconnected those. And I was able to open Firefox again, but it had a whole new look. I lost all my bookmarks, and I was asked to set up a user profile, and I never had done that in the past. So I've got a lot of bookmarks that have gone by, and I'm just wondering whether there's any way that I can get those restored.
Did you back them up at any point in time?
I never did. I didn't know you could.
Yeah, you can.
What probably happened is something got corrupted in your profile, and so it made a new one, which was empty.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an import command, but you're going to have to find your old profile. And Firefox, I just had to do this for a customer the other day. Firefox stores your profiles in a SQL database, not your bookmarks, which means it's not an HTML file that you can easily import.
Right.
So you have to find your old profile folder. Which is in an invisible folder in your application support folder, in order to import those bookmarks.
So you're going to have to go into File and Options and say Show Hidden Files.
Yeah. So then once you get them all back, Firefox will let you export your bookmarks as a text file to back them up, so you don't have to go through this mess before or again.
Here's what likely happened. At some point, Firefox crashed.
Okay.
And it still thinks it was open from before and wouldn't let you in as that user because that user was already in.
Okay.
Now, when you get in, it says, well, you can't be that user, so you must be a different user.
Okay.
And so that, I think, is what the problem is. So your profile is locked. You have to find the parent.lock file.
Options.
So what you got was some sort of message. It said something like Firefox is already running but not responding.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I know how to do it in Linux.
So you said find the old profile folder, and how do I do that?
It's in an invisible folder in your username under application support. We're both trying to find the instructions on Firefox on how to get to that.
It's a long involved profile in use. There we go. So what you have to do, and Steve can put this online, it's a fairly long and involved-ish process. It could happen because of a delayed shutdown. It could be happening because of a crash. Could be any one of a thousand flipping things.
Okay.
But what you're looking for, you need to open the profile folder, as we said before, and the profile folder for Firefox in what you were running, Windows 7?
10.
Okay, I think it's still in the same place. It should be in your app data folder. And what you should be able to do is in search.
There's a profile manager, an app now.
Oh, there's a profile manager. But you should be able to in search. Look for percent app data, APPDATA, percent, / Mozilla with a capital M, backslash again. And that should find it for you. And there should be a file called parent.lock.
Okay.
You delete that file.
But it's,
and
it's,
you should be able to.
Then you got to delete the new profile that created, so it goes back to using the old profile.
Well, right, if he created the new profile, he still should be able to. Now in Profile Manager, you should be able to pick his profile.
Yeah.
Once you've unlocked the old one in Profile Manager, which is another application, which you should find under your Start menu in the Mozilla folder, one of the choices should be Profile Manager. You should see multiple profiles there and be able to pick the one that you want to use.
So the profile stores your bookmarks and your history and your downloads and things like that for you.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to give that a try.
All right, good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Well, you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but we're going to give you another chance to do it. We're going to take a slightly longer break, but we'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You can give us a call at 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz. 90.1, see you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
We are?
We are. Oh, this is...
And I was going to try moving that camera during the break and forgot all about it.
Forgot all about it.
Because right now it's shooting through the microphone.
That's okay.
Dave has a face for radio, and he's happy to
keep it right there. Matter of fact, if you want to move it out in the hallway, that's fine, too.
While you're doing that, on Tuesday... Corporate watchdog and activist site SumOfUs.org, SUMOfUs.org, launched a petition demanding that Apple keep the standard-sized headphone jack in the iPhone 7. The campaign started with a modest goal of 10,000 signatures, with Wednesday's early count at around 3,000. But on Thursday, the number of signatures jumped up to over 167,000. It doesn't seem to show any signs of stopping yet. The rapid increase in support isn't surprising considering the propensity of some of us as petitions to go viral in a short space of time. Their clever email campaigns often strike the right chord at an opportune time and require a little more than a few clicks to show support. What is surprising is that this is based entirely on a rumor that's gaining more traction and could be very likely, but a rumor that is unverified and could come to nothing. Back in November, the Japanese blog Makatakara, citing a reliable source, claimed that the 3.5-millimeter headphone jack would be removed in favor of wireless headphones and an all-in-one lightning connector for both connectivity and audio output. And now the Chinese websites Anzuho.cn and Weifang have added fuel to the fire, citing supply chain news from unnamed sources have claimed that Apple is removing the 3.5-millimeter port and releasing its own wireless headphones. These rumors should be treated with caution. The sources are all unverified, and unsurprisingly, Apple has said exactly nothing on the subject. But it is worth remembering that Apple does have a history of removing standard accessories and ports from devices in favor of something proprietary, because they can charge, of something proprietary. In typical emotive language, the Sum of Us's petition claims that Apple's real motivation behind the removal of the standard jack is to leverage Apple's market share in order to extract even more profit from its customers. That's what companies do, folks. and that Apple is about to rip off current and future iPhone owners. What do you think? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
There is a tiny bit of credence.
Clearwater?
Yeah.
Revival?
With or without Young.
With or without.
Yeah, well, we can do a little of one and then a little of the
yeah.
other.
In 2014, so almost 2 years ago now, Apple was granted a patent for an audio device over Lightning connection, basically. So 2 years ago, this started, you know, the iPhone 6 rumors. The iPhone 6, they're going to eliminate the headphone jack. And then last year, the iPhone 6S, they're going to eliminate the headphone jack. Now the rumors are back around again. The iPhone 7, they're going to eliminate the headphone jack.
Yeah.
Eventually, they might be right.
Exactly. If you say it often enough.
Yeah.
And also getting rid of the speakers in the phone itself.
Well, that's a little tricky because of all the state laws against driving with the phone. Hands-free, the speakerphone counts. Although, technically, pushing the button to answer the call is illegal. But once the call is answered, you can use the speakerphone.
Right, right, right.
But wait a minute. I do that right off my steering wheel.
Right. Yeah. With the newer cars with the built-in
Even
integration.
So,
yeah.
Well, you've still got your hands on the wheel, so maybe that counts.
Yeah. So with Google,
I can just say, okay, Google.
Siri hands-free or Siri eyes-free does
right.
that too.
Right.
But you have to turn it on.
Right.
And so the one of the things that people are speculating as to why Apple would do this is so they can make the phone thinner, so they don't have to have that big hole. Which we don't necessarily want our phones thinner.
Exactly.
We want the battery longer.
We want, and now they've got the
battery
thing.
Case with a hump.
Yeah, the battery
like,
case
like
with
virtually
a hump.
Every other battery case, it has a hump on it where the battery is.
Now you buy the thinnest phone on the market, which by the way it isn't, but you buy the thinnest phone on the market, and then you add another half an inch so that you have an acceptable battery life.
That's
just stupid.
It's for those customers that need longer battery life. Our all-day battery.
All of them.
Yeah. It's a third-party opportunity.
It's stupid. It's just plain ignorant.
And a couple of companies, including Beats, which is now owned by Apple, do make Lightning-based headphones because it's a digital connection, so you can get more controls, you can get better theoretically better quality. The whole analog versus digital audio debate.
I'm not a big fan of Beats because it's all bass.
Yeah, yeah. If you like hip hop and rap music, then Beats are really good.
Yep, but if you don't, Beats are just bass.
Yeah.
So
what's that song? I'm all about the bass.
Yeah, about the bass.
Not
that's
the treble.
Bass. Beats.
Yeah.
But if you actually like listening to all of the music.
Yeah.
Then really, you don't want to be a Beats person.
Bang & Olufsen. There's some high end audio companies I've never heard of that suddenly started making headphones for the iPhone. And the other thing about Beats is they're $300 for a basic pair of Beats. I think
that's not a Beats.
That's not Beats. That's a D. Yeah.
Or the Beats is backwards.
The Beats is backwards. Oh, it could be. It could be the logo's backwards.
Yeah.
Real high end audio stuff. You know, the audiophiles don't mind dropping a grand on a pair of headphones.
Right.
Now your mixer is $5,000. Yeah, we hear about people that have put in $100,000 home theater systems in their house, and that's okay. I guess.
And those
when I win the $1 billion lottery.
Yeah, exactly right.
Those little headphones.
Whose ears do those actually fit? Not mine.
Apple scanned millions of ears to create these ear pods out of the best average shape. So this is the average shape of someone's ear.
Because the soft plastic ones that mold themselves to your ears weren't good enough for Apple.
So it means that half of the people are too small and half of the people are too big.
Right.
You have to be exactly average.
Right. Let us not forget that 50% of every person you know is by definition below average.
Yep.
Just saying. Just saying. So, yeah, I get it. Apple wants the thinnest phone possible. What I want to see are some of the, what do they call them, concept phones that were at CES, Computer Electronics Show. I want to know why Rob Litton hasn't sent us to CES.
Yeah, true. And that's where a lot of these supply chain people talk and these rumors come from, is that Apple and the other companies most likely order, I need 1,000 of these to see how they work.
Right.
Well, there was a 60 Minutes look inside Apple the other day, and they have their own CNC machines. They, you know, inside the Cupertino office where they do one-off prototypes, right. I forget the interviewer, but they were talking with Johnny Ive, and he had like 10 different iPhone 6s on his desk, different shapes, different size screens, different thicknesses, so we 100 prototypes, and then we whittle that down to a dozen that we start testing with, and so. Every rumor you hear about Apple is probably true.
Right.
It's under development. Will it become a product or not? That's the big question.
Right. And it's an interesting issue because everybody does it.
Yeah.
It's just that when Apple does it, people are so desperate to be ahead of the curve with the next big thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone tries to patent everything they can.
Right.
Well, I've still been looking because it's due out, I believe, in April.
Yeah.
Is the new Galaxy 7.
Yeah.
They're coming out with two models. There's going to be a 23 millimeter and a 25 millimeter. One being, the 25 is going to have a little bit more battery space.
Yep.
Oh, here's one discussion we got into, and I've talked to this to a lot of folks. And you can see all these posts and everything else on the various phones. Well, it doesn't have a removable battery. Okay, so why? Why is that a concern?
It's for people that need all-day battery life and want to replace their batteries.
Right.
But that means they have to make the phone thicker for the battery mechanism.
But for most folks...
Right.
No, you ask them, what I'm getting at is, you ask most folks, so they say, well, it doesn't have a removable battery. Yeah, so? How does that affect you? They don't have an answer. And you can see all these posts, and they'll sit there and complain about it, but no justification or reason why that bothers them.
On my old phone, where using the phone as a, just a phone lasted all day, but using it as a smartphone lasted half a day, I had a second battery. And I would charge them both up at night, and I would take both batteries with me, and I would replace it in the middle of the day.
Right.
The new phone, even using it as much as I do, I still end up with 40% of my battery by the time I get home at night.
Yeah.
And so I don't care about an extra battery, but what I do care about is the Galaxy, what is it, 6 now?
Yeah.
Has no micro SD slot.
Right.
That makes me crazy.
Well, you got to buy either 32 or 64 gig.
Mount. I don't want that. I want to put my 128 gig micro SD card in.
Right.
And the 7 will have that back.
Yes, that's what I've been told. But the thing that is, though, is, and in the 6, and which will just carry on over to the 7, they have what they call rapid charge.
Yep.
That if you use their charger to do it, it can charge it in less than 15 minutes from a full dead battery right up to full charge in less than 15 minutes.
Is it full or gives you a couple?
It's like 80%.
It gives you another hour or two.
Yeah, it's 80%.
One guy that I was reading, again, I'm just going by what folks are saying.
Yeah, I know, but I was reading the specs right from them, and they said 80% charge in 15 minutes, I think
it
was.
That's still cool.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's again, for me, the storage space is far more important than the replaceable battery. The replaceable battery would be very nice because, like, you go on a, you go on a cruise and you're taking a bunch of pictures. That drains your battery.
Yeah, but again,
and having that extra battery.
But if you're using Google Photo, you can throw them all up to the backup.
I'm not talking
about... But that uses more battery because it's cellular.
Yeah, but I'm
cellular,
saying that about the battery, not the...
Right,
not the
storage. But what I'm saying is if you sync it at night, you schedule your sync at night over Wi-Fi at night, no big deal. It's on the charger anyways, for me at least, and it just gets uploaded.
Well, but what I'm saying is you take it out and you take pictures all day and you will drain the battery. So having a second battery is not a bad thing there.
So, I'm looking at some of these rumor sites and it says the Galaxy S7 will be fully chargeable in 5 minutes.
So,
all right, it has a 4,000 milliamp hour battery. So, saying it, you know, it, say it uses a, you know, 1,000 milliamps an hour, so it'll take 4 hours to charge it. So you need a 40,000 milliamp charger,
right?
So that just means it comes with a power station, mm-hmm. in order to feed it all that power in 5 minutes.
All right, suck back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Don. What's up?
Hi. Well, I kind of disagree with the not wanting a replaceable battery. In fact, I've delayed buying a new phone because I like this replaceable battery. I have complete freedom to charge whenever I want, wherever I want.
Yep.
And carry a spare, like when I'm traveling. I can't always find a plug to plug my charger in.
Yep. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it at the end of the day. You know, if we all decide to go out, you know, to a team dinner, right. Am I going to have enough power?
Right. Or a friend of mine went on a whale watching cruise.
Mm-hmm.
She took about a zillion pictures, ran out of battery just as the best whale of the day breached. So had she been able to...
That's what I like about replaceable. I've got a little gadget that I charge the battery, not in my phone, but I have a little charger. I charge my battery. I have two spares.
It's a third-party opportunity.
Yeah.
There's no third-party opportunity if you can't replace the battery.
Well, yeah, but the third-party batteries, you plug it into the phone, it thinks it's plugged into the wall and charges the internal battery.
Right. I've got a Halo, which will recharge the phone as well. But
I've heard good things about the Anker, too.
Yeah, the Anker's another
one.
But
then I've got to have that thing plugged into my phone, and it's awkward in my pocket all the time, whereas I can carry the batteries.
Yep.
They take up no space.
You're preaching to the choir, Don, absolutely.
Yeah, I have an external battery backup. That external thing is a pain in the butt because it's connected to the phone with a wire and it's dangling there.
Yep.
It's awkward and unpleasant.
So that's why a lot of phones do come with removable and user-replaceable batteries.
Yep.
Yeah, but there aren't many of them that way anymore. I tried it with Verizon.
Fewer of them are made that way, but you can still find some. You can still find some if you look. All right, we got to take a break. Thanks, Don. We appreciate your call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you, 19 minutes after the hour, sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and Mark from Greece has been patiently waiting on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hi, guys. Just want to say awesome, awesome, awesome job you guys are doing.
I love
listening to the show, and awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If I could hit upon a couple points, I would. They're really not questions, just opinion.
Go for it.
First thing, well, this is not an opinion, it's a statement. As far as the broadband connection, I actually do get more.
Good for
than
you.
What I pay for, but I don't pay for a high tier with Time Warner. I pay for the middle tier, supposed to be a 15, and I get, I'd say most of the time, I get at least 17 or 18.
Nice, very nice.
So I'm attributing that to maybe not too many people connected in my area at this point.
Right. A lot of it has to do with the infrastructure, how many people are on your head end. There's just 100 million things that change for that. So yeah, I'm glad for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And that may also be part of what they call turbo boost, where the initial connection gets a little bit faster to start with.
I don't have that anymore. I got rid of it. I thought it was really kind of worthless.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
So I don't have that anymore. But yeah, I mean, even at the slowest part of the day when the kids get out of school, I'm still above my 15 point.
There you go. You win. Good for you.
Second thing, you mentioned SD cards and phones.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a phone that I had. I had an old Android MP3 player.
Yeah.
That says it maxed out at 32 gigabytes. And I found, back about a month ago, a card at Best Buy. It was 64 gig, cheap, like $22.
Yeah, they're coming down.
I said, buy this, you know, even if you don't have anything to use it in right now, hold on to it, you know? And I bought it, and I said, let me throw it in this MP3 player. So I threw it in and started it up, and it said, this card may be corrupted. It needs to be formatted. So I formatted it. I got almost the full capacity out of it. Even
there
though
you go.
Not supposed mm-hmm. to. So sometimes these things will work when they say they won't.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
There was a 32 gig barrier in one of the SATA specifications.
Right, right, but that's an old, yeah. a fairly old one. Well, yeah, what we're talking about in terms of the phones, of course, is they don't even have an SD slot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That,
yeah.
that is becoming very, well, Apple doesn't give you any extra storage anyway.
Right, but, right, right.
Which I think is, you know, that's a 50-50 thing. You know, there's good and there's bad to that. But,
right.
you know, the other thing I was talking about was... With those capacities, I think they give you better options. You know, I think they limit, that's the 50-50 part. They limit your right. options when they don't let you expand.
Right. And the problem, of course, is it costs a quarter of a cent to add that to the phone. And, right. you know, when you make a billion phones, that quarter of a cent adds up. And I get that. It's the same with being able to replace your battery. It costs a little bit more to make a phone that replaces that lets you replace the battery. And they're much less concerned with what you want than with saving another penny on every phone. Yeah,
so fortunately, Samsung makes 1,000 different phones.
Right.
right. you know, and every time they change something about it, they have to change something about it. And I hate thin phones.
Yeah.
I hate thin phones. I always... put them in something, even if it's not for protection, just to give it some girth.
Well, and that's the other thing. Everybody buys the thinnest possible iPhone and then puts a case around it because it's so thin, they have to protect it. What is the point of that?
I don't yep. get it. I don't like thin phones. I never did.
I don't get it.
So the thinner the phone is, then the thinner it is with a case, too. So if
well,
you have a really thick phone, yeah.
By the time you add the battery hump,
yeah, and
so
the otter,
at first you make it look like Richard III, and then you add an otter case over yeah. it so you can drop it, you're back to an inch thick again.
Yep.
But it's the thinnest phone Apple makes. Because I don't want to, you know, because if you hit it on the side, it'll shatter the glass.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah, it's toast.
That's what my niece did. She's got this thin iPhone, and then she bought this case that allows her to plug it directly into the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's huge. And I said, well, why'd you buy this thin phone? She goes, oh, because I had to have the newest one.
Yeah. Right, right.
That's all it is. That's all it boils down to.
They actually yeah. started a new program this year, and Apple did. And we're seeing the carriers now have all stopped or about to stop the two-year contract deal. And so it all works out the same. You still pay over 2 years, but it's not a contract anymore. It's a lease.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But many companies now have a one-year plan. So you always get the new phone, and you just keep paying the $50 a month for the phone, and then another $50 a month for the service. So it still works out to about $100 a month per phone,
right?
To do that, but you get the new phone every year, which some people have to have.
Yeah.
No, and I get that. I'm just not one of them. I don't care. The phone does what I want when I want it to do it. I don't need your approval for my phone.
Right.
So I don't really care what you think.
Mm-hmm. You're an outlier.
Yeah.
If I could bring up one more thing.
Yeah.
Going back to Time Warner, they have this new, they put out their new information that they're upping, you know, the prices again.
Yep.
And I'm really getting fed up with having to call them and them telling me, well, why don't you come down to the cable store and bring this in and replace it because you're having a problem with it. And I'm like, no, that's inconvenient. I'm paying you a lot of money. Send somebody to my house.
Yep.
Yep.
They refuse to send somebody out.
Yeah.
Because then they have to pay.
Here, my yeah. in-laws have them down south of Albany, and they're giving them a hard time about coming out for anything, and they're having major problems.
Yeah. One of the sneaky things they're doing, too, is they aren't technically raising the price of service. They're raising the accessory fees. So they're increasing the modem rental fee. They're increasing the Wi-Fi rental fee. So if you're using Time Warner's box for your Wi-Fi, they're increasing that fee. Because if the it's weird. You know, Phil at Stop the Cap has an article about this. To increase their actual service rates, they have to go through the Public Service Commission.
So it's but the same thing, the just a different name on it.
Your bill's going to go up,
right,
your service is not going up.
But I will say, I will say that for me, I had a major problem with my cable, and Time Warner came out every other day for a month, including a supervisor who gave me his personal phone number. Until they resolve that issue. So
I've been there. I went through that a couple of years ago, but you know, unless I'm having a major problem, they want me to just keep exchanging equipment and it's not the equipment, it's their software that I'm having an issue with.
Yeah. Yep. And one of the things I've read sometimes is that the box you get exchanged with was someone else's problem that got exchanged ahead of you.
Yeah, they need to really overhaul this stuff. If the hard drive's failing, you got to put a new hard drive in it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I made a joke. I did bring my box back at one point, and they stuck it in one cabinet and pulled another one out of another cabinet. I said, well, you just got somebody in the back who just puts those in bags and puts them in the other cabinet? Dead silence on the other end of the, behind the counter.
He guessed our secret.
I don't know what that was about.
Well, the one way to do it is to get a different box. So we upgraded to the new DVR Pro service with the bigger hard drive. So it is a physically new box, and it's a newer box because they haven't made these very long.
Is that the six tuner?
Yeah, it's got six tuners in it and a terabyte hard drive. Yeah,
yeah.
They're tinier than the old ones are, which is interesting too.
Yeah,
and I've also heard on Steve Gibson with SpinRite that people having trouble with their DVRs pull the hard drive out of it, run SpinRite on it, and you get all your programs back. It starts booting again. It stops giving all you the pixelation. So something is going wrong with the hard drive. Yeah, we'll fix the hard drive.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Time Warner won't like the fact you opening their boxes.
That's true, yeah.
Suckers up with tape all over the place. And they know if you've been in there, they're going to make you buy that box.
Yep.
But they don't let you buy your own box.
We do not recommend opening up the Time Warner cable boxes.
Yeah.
Right. And they'll make you buy it, but they're going to take it back.
Right.
That's what they'll do. They'll charge you for the box, and then they want the box back.
Right.
That happened to a friend of mine.
Right.
They charged them almost $700 for a DVR.
Which you look at something like the TiVo that you can buy for $200 or $300, but you don't get all the same services. Because I looked into this too. So the 1 terabyte TiVo was like $500, and then you got to buy the TiVo service, and then you got to buy the cable card from Time Warner to get the cable channels.
That. They won't sell them.
Right, that's true. You got to lease that.
Those. And if you've got multiple tuners, it's $2-3
per card, and you don't get all the same. You don't get all the on-demand stuff that Dave likes,
right?
So it worked out. You know, it's just easier to get the Time Warner box than it is to try to deal with them.
Yeah,
even though everyone I talk to says the TiVo software is so much better.
Oh, it's sleek, it's smooth.
Yeah,
that's what my in-laws did because they got sick and tired of them saying they're not coming out to the house.
Yeah,
right.
So they said, well, if we got to deal with this on our own, we might as well buy our own.
Right.
Like I say, if I could put together a package and get all the channels I want, yeah, I'd cut cable.
Now, the problem with that is there's a lot of channels nobody would buy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I try to put this service together, and you add them all up, and then it's more than the cable bill I'm paying for now.
So a lot of the channels are now coming a la carte over the internet instead of over television, and it's $5, $6, $7, $8 a month for each channel. So now you have to watch out. If you cut your cable TV cord, you know, you get Netflix, you get Hulu, you get ABC, you get CBS, you get ESPN, you get HBO, you get Showtime. Suddenly you're more than it would have been on the cable.
Yeah,
right. Well, don't get me started with those apps because you have to have cable service to use any of those apps, but yet I can receive them over the air. Why can't I have access to their apps without having a cable service?
A lot of the apps now are allowing you to do that. They are over the internet only, and you don't need a cable TV subscription.
So if I wanted to download it to my tablet, they'll let me use it on my tablet, or does it have to be on my desktop or laptop?
On your tablet, too. So HBO has their HBO Go service requires a cable TV subscription.
Right.
The HBO Now service does not.
But if I go to the ABC app, it asks me who my provider is.
Right. Some of the services do that. CBS has one where you don't need to have a cable TV service. That's the CBS All Access.
Right.
So some of the networks
get half their stuff that's new, and then they make you pay for the rest of it
right.
if you want to watch. You know,
right.
Two Broke Girls, you can watch this episode, this episode, this episode.
But you can't go back too far, yeah.
Unless you pay for the service.
So there's been a shift between who gets the money. So the cable TV company pays the channel, basically. So Time Warner pays ABC for the content. And if you want to watch ABC on the internet, they're not getting paid. So now these networks are starting to offer their own internet service to get paid directly. So instead of paying Time Warner for 100 channels, you're going to pay 100 different companies for each channel.
Right, but you're going to pay more because they haven't...
It's unbundled. So if you can manage the channels you want, it can be cheaper to buy 10 channels individually than getting the bundle from Time Warner.
But if you want 20 channels or 30 channels or 50 channels, it's lot cheaper.
Let's say three, six...
Or if you don't
mind... eight channels is what I'd like.
If you don't mind waiting, then Netflix and Hulu, if you wait a year, you'll get last year's full season of whatever. You just have to wait a year.
You'll never get CBS content on any of those, though.
No, likely not much of it, no.
Yep. They don't put it on there.
Yep. Partly because now they're doing their CBS All Access. You can pay CBS
if you
directly.
Not put them on there. You cannot get a CBS show on Hulu to save your life.
Yep.
Right.
You're welcome.
All right, well, take care.
All right, thanks.
So Hulu.
Also, I think it's important to note that on the 18th is the new season of Daredevil.
Yep.
On Netflix. And on the 19th, of course, Agent Carter comes back. I think that's important.
I just was watching something on demand, and the commercial say Agent Carter started January 5th. And I go, oh, we missed it. Well, and my wife says, well, no, it started another time. So look on demand. The January 19th episode is on demand now.
Really?
Saying it aired on January 19th. It's the two-hour season premiere.
That's my evening sorted out.
So what happened that they moved it?
Good question. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 38 minutes after the hour. We continue, for no discernible reason, to be sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Joe from
Cheektowaga, New York.
On the line. Welcome, Joe. What's up?
Well, going back a little ways there, if there's ever an app that somehow is not presenting the usual, minimize, maximize, close.
Right.
If you can get a keyboard focus, you can try hitting Alt F4. That should close the application as well.
Right.
I just have to wonder why they have that skinned mode for Task Manager anyway. That's just...
Well, like weird. I said, it lets you put it in the corner, particularly if you have a second monitor.
Or a small monitor,
and you can keep it in the corner and watch what's going on. But save a little bit of real estate.
Oh,
that's really the only point. That's the only reason it's there.
Apple is doing some of that in their latest OSs, where it will hide the scroll bar from you,
right,
until you actually scroll,
right,
which is annoying because it only saves like what, 20 pixels,
right?
But on a tiny screen, I can see, yeah.
Well, and on a desktop, it's probably not a big deal, but on a server,
yeah,
you may want that taskbar. That task manager up all the time.
Server, you typically don't have more than one head either, so that's a big
right,
saving.
Right. So that's why that's available that way.
Near the end of last hour, you had somebody that had their Firefox profile disappear.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I I was listening carefully, and if I'm not mistaken, it sounds like his whole user profile disappeared, sort of, kind of.
Right.
I had this happen to me once on a Windows XP machine. I don't know how much it'll apply to his Windows 10, but as you're logging in, if the operating system detects there's an incorrect owner or incorrect access control list or ACL, somewhere within your profile, it will create a brand new profile, and it'll append .000 to the name or something like that.
Right.
So it sounded like that's what happened with him.
Yeah.
And looking in like percent app data percent, I don't think is going to help this guy. I think he's going to have to actually explore his disk for his old profile and see if he can snatch the Firefox profile out of his damaged profile. I don't know.
Right. What often happens with these is Windows is running fine, but when you start Firefox, it either had crashed or it was a delayed shutdown or whatever it is, and the profile thinks it's still open by somebody else, and Firefox believes only one person should be able to use a profile, so that you can't sneak a look at somebody else's stuff. So if you can delete the parent.lock file, close Firefox, delete the parent.lock file, when you restart, Firefox thinks, oh, that was shut down correctly, and we can go.
Oh, I've seen that as a symlink on Linux,
yep.
too.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
No, also in the news, poor old Time Warner Cable getting it all from all sides now with the increases and all that. They had some sort of data breach this past week, and I saw that everybody's urged to log on and change their account passwords.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, the deal with that is if you have a .rr email address, rr.com, like syracuse.rr.com, rochester.rr.com, whatever it may be, if you have that rr in your address, 340,000 customers were compromised, so you should change your password immediately. Of course, you should also never use you never use the same password twice, right? I know everybody rolls their eyes when I say that, but what that means now is that anybody who got that password now has the same password to all the other sites you use that password on. So if you have unique passwords, then the only thing they can get at is your email. So you should do that. The other thing that really angers me about this, Time Warner didn't even know about it until the FBI told them. There are some system administrators at Time Warner who need to be fired.
Hmm.
This makes me angry. I spent my entire professional career as a system administrator, and I am professionally insulted by the idea that these people didn't even know they'd been breached until the FBI told them. That's not right.
And the other problem with losing control of your email is that a lot of people use an email address for recovery.
Right.
So it's your Amazon recovery password. And so they don't need to guess, the bad guy doesn't need to guess your Amazon password. He just says, I forgot my password. Send it to my Roadrunner account and I'll right. get into it. So Amazon or Citibank or PayPal or anywhere your money is.
Gmail or anything else.
Which is why you should immediately be changing your Roadrunner password. And change it to something you don't use anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Well, to make that easy, there's LastPass, there's 1Password, there's KeePass,
yep.
there's
right.
RoboForm, which I use. And a lot of these have a great advantage that they have a service where they will store your passwords encrypted for you. They're only decryptable by your passphrase, so even if you ask them, hey, I need my Amazon password back. Oh, sorry, you're out of luck. It's encrypted with your own password. And they'll store it on their server, so that means any computer you log into, any tablet you get on, any phone, there's all your passwords all kept securely for you.
Yep.
And several of these also have add-ons for all the popular browsers, including like Android and iOS. There's for only $20 a year, I get my password stored on their server and I can use them anywhere. It doesn't cost you anything additional for apps or add-ons or anything like that.
Right, right. Nice. It's a nice service. They make good product, and it's a nice service.
I'm surprised there's not a petition for Apple to make removable batteries for their phones, because that's just a pain in the
ass. Apple doesn't care. Apple doesn't care.
Exactly. And there probably have been.
Neither does Android. Android.
Nobody cares. Here's the point. Remember, these are publicly traded companies. Their customer is the people who own the stock.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the customer. We're the product. Product's got no say.
You think a petition for a few hundred thousand people is going to make them care when they do, what, several million unit sales per quarter?
Right. Exactly.
They don't. It's unnoticeable, right? Yep. It's noise in the data.
And it's the same with the Android, because a lot of the folks with the Android phones, with the Galaxy. Galaxy S6 went to a non-removable battery, so will be the 7. And that's just the way most manufacturers are going to go, because it's less material that they have to use to make that phone. Which
makes the shareholders happier.
Yeah, because, you know, to have a removable battery means I've got to now have that housing, which is more metal and everything else, to hold that battery so it snaps into place. So, you know, if I can lessen that and the materials that I use to produce it, like Nick said, stockholders love it because it costs less and they can produce more.
Right, right, right.
It's all about the profit margin.
You got it.
That's it.
You got it.
What channel were you on, Nick?
10. Oh. 10. I did a thing on Channel 10 about this.
This may be it. I've been looking for that.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Nina.
So if you lose the 3.5 millimeter jack, you know, I don't really care that much. I use Bluetooth most of the time anyway.
There you go.
Well, and that's what Apple is figuring. You know, they'll sell more new headphones with the thing, and people who are already using Bluetooth won't care. And the only people who will care are the people who are still using regular old headphones, and the hell with them, frankly.
Oh, another thing it reminds me about, somebody at Time Warner ought to be fired.
Yeah.
As far as I know, one, they don't offer IMAP to access your email.
Roadrunner doesn't, but Time Warner does.
Right, if you change your address from rr.com to tw.com.
TWC.
TWC.com. You do get IMAP.
Which is interesting.
Oh, didn't know that. So the other thing I was going to say, their POP is not encrypted.
Which is, I tell people, get a Gmail account. They're free, they're very high quality, and if you change internet service providers, you don't have to change your email again.
Or even live.com.
Well, yeah, whoever AKA it is, Hotmail. Right. Whoever
Yahoo
it is.
Yahoo maybe, not, but Yahoo not seems Hotmail. To have problems keeping secure too.
Right.
Well, the reason POP wasn't secure is in the olden days nothing was secure, and POP is a very old standard.
Right. Right.
Indeed, but still the credentials go over the wire in the clear. It's like, yep. Okay, wake up, people. Come on, do at least POP S, okay? You know what I mean?
Exactly. But they mostly don't, and that's how that works.
Well, yep. And if you do need longer runtime, there's just hundreds and hundreds of battery packs that have a USB port on them, so you just plug in your normal charging cable to that and to your phone or tablet or whatever, and you get increased runtime. Yes, as the one caller pointed out, it is quite inconvenient to have that flopping around, but at least, you know, if you're waiting for some important call or whatever, it'll get you through.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as an emergency thing, it's useful.
Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
All right, have a great time in Cheek.
Tawaga, New York.
I think Joe's made a number of good points there. I realize I get very upset about the data breach. Of course, I'm retired now, so it doesn't, you know, I can say those things with complete impunity.
And I just
they're never going to happen to me again.
And I just read something in that story. None of the records show that anything was breached.
Yeah.
They still don't know how they got breached.
Yep. It's, I do get it, but it makes me sad. All right, that music tells me you've wasted 2 entire hours of your life with this nonsense. We're done for another week. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. In the meantime, don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. So it's 3 hours of magic or 2.5 hours of magic, however long it is. I'm usually taking a nap. 5 hours? It seems like 5 hours. I don't know. I'm usually taking a nap by then, so I don't know. But we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55 minutes after the hour, and we continue to be, for no discernible reason, the longest-running computer show in the known and unknown universe, Soundbites, right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.